Hello, this is PJ. I was thinking about doing this webcast a couple of days ago, but then I was asking myself how I was going to do it. And then I was thinking about how do you do that? How do you talk about that? To reach somebody that has a heart for God and to get them to really understand what I'm talking about. Now, this webcast is not going to be one laced with confusion to keep you confused about what the subject matter is, because if you have half of a brain, you can go to my website and you can discover that by just looking at the title, Zeroing In on One Human Being. Often I find myself liking certain particular characteristics about one human over another. They may have a brighter mind. They may look better physically to me than certain other human beings. You know, there are certain people that you don't want to look at. Let me give you a good example, and I have nothing against these people. I'm not trying to use politically correct language, but I really don't want to look at anyone that is so overweight, like 400 and 500 pounds. And I mean, I feel sorry for them, but it was a journey to get there. And since nothing was done to stop that journey while it was on the way, shame on whomever was in charge of that. So, I don't think no one in particularly, unless they have a fetish for very large people, really, doesn't want to look at that. And so, there's nothing bad or good about that. I'm just saying that I would rather not. But we're trying to zero in now because, you know, once you get a day over 21, you should be, and trust me, I speak with a lot of day over 21 guys. And what I'm discovering in their young lives, and the gals too, but the gals mature a little bit quicker than the guys do. The gals, when they mature as women, they know what they want, they spot what they want, they do what it takes to keep what they want. And that's the way God would have it. It's the normal processes. But let's talk about this subject matter. And I was thinking about handling it from a completely different way. But no, I'm going to handle it this way. And I'm going to start off and I'm going to say this, because I really don't know who's listening to me. I don't know. I have no idea who's listening to these webcasts. But I know after coming to my site that there's a heck of a lot of people still listening to what I'm talking about. So that encourages me. But first of all, let me talk about me, okay? Let me talk about me. And I don't want to go too much into my background history of all of that, because that's not important. And I want some music while I do this. So I'm going to put a little music in the background. Yeah. And I don't want it to overshadow what I'm about to say. I don't have a particular person in my life right now that I can say that I just want to spend a lot of time looking at, like somebody that I want to be my wife, someone that I'd like to mumble with, to dance with. I don't have that person in my mind. But what I want you to do as you listen to me is I want you to put this person in your mind, the person that you would like to dance with. Now, as you're dancing with this person, oh, you're swinging her around and you love the way she feels to you and you're just enjoying all of this. And all of a sudden, while you're dancing, someone else comes into your view And what you have to do is choose which lady. And if you're a lady, in this case, which guy you really want to dance with. How do you hone in on one? Now, you know, we know the Bible verses, don't we? That it says that God made one man for one woman and one woman for one man. But while we're going through these motions of dancing and all of that, we have a tendency to see other people that we may be attracted to, that we may be driven towards. What do we do with that? I mean, you hear that? Can't live without you. Hear that? The name of this song is Nothing Without You. See? That's a bunch of ladies saying that they can't live, they can't breathe without the Lord. Nothing without your love. Well, let's change that. All right? And let's hone in on each of us in particularly. Can we love with great potential and momentum? Listen. Yes. Yeah. All right. What? I'm nothing without your love. I'm going to stop it right there. Because I think that what we need to do is we need to answer that question. Who do you want to dance with? Who do you want to spend the rest of your life with? I was speaking with a young man that I'm mentoring. We were having this conversation, and I said, you're like a son to me, a dear son. I have the same conversation with every young man that I come in contact with because my community is in dire straits for things to turn out right. And in the normative relations with men and women that I run into, especially with this newer, younger generation, they don't have the same type of constraints. I like that term. They don't have the same kind of constraints that we had. What a constraint is something that holds you back from being the best that you can be, something that is constraining you from making the best choice, not the right choice, because when you're young, you're going to make choices, but you don't always make the right ones. Another young man that I'm counseling, I'm constantly reminding him that the choices that he makes, even as an adult, over 21, will carry with it consequences. And the same is true with relationships. I was with Lucy, and I, and I hate to look back to this because, see, a lot of people that know me, that listen to me, some of them don't think that I really loved my wife. I did love my wife tremendously. She was the only woman that I've ever loved. I've never loved another woman. I would never tell a woman that I love her like that if I didn't. I was dating a woman a number of years ago. The people in my local congregation thought that I would marry this woman. But this woman never demonstrated to me that she loved me. No. I never had sex with a woman either. Never did. Why? Can't have sex with anyone that I don't really feel deep, compassionate, transparent love for. And if I did have sex with her, I wouldn't tell you. It's none of your business. But if I did, it's only because I love her. I don't just lie down with people and have sex with them. I don't know how people do that. Well, you just do it, man. You just do it. No, that is not what someone that has a commitment towards following God. You hear that beeper right there? I'm gonna have to go and put my clothes in the dryer. I'll be right back, okay? Don't go anywhere. All right, I'm back. You know, I recall years ago, I've done webcasts, and you can find them on my marriage counseling page on this very same website. And I did so many. These are good. I've done so many webcasts on that. I'm not going to do any new ones on this. I'm going to stick with my theme. You're dancing with your partner. The one that has made a commitment towards you. Because I was talking with a young man about this. As a matter of fact, this morning he asked me, what is it that I don't care for about him? I said, how rambunctious you are with women. And I said, you've had so many women. That your mind is going to be confused when it comes to the woman that you say that you love and that you want to have children with and that you want to do family with. But young people don't think in terms of family and things like that. As a matter of fact, they don't think about having offspring at all because they're just thinking about enjoying the moment right now. Enjoying the life of what you have right now and make it as easy as possible without any constraints and without any confusion. That is what this new life, with this new world order has done. So now how do you introduce godly standards to people that are relativistically, and excuse me for chomping on things, I'm eating this little nutty delight thing. It's fiber plus. It's supposed to be healthy because I don't want to eat lunch. I'm tired of food. But I'll put that on pause until I get through dealing with this. So what do you do? What do we do? What do we say? What can we say to this younger generation that no longer believes in the dictums or the statutes and the moral standards that we used to have in our lives as coming up? That would be like me talking to, if I had a son 21, 22 years ago, how would I raise him and what would I tell him? I was speaking with one young man and he said, it is just great to be able to talk to you, and I know I'm talking with a man that had all of these years under his belt of things happening to him. And the young man said, I've never spoken with my dad ever in my life like I'm speaking with you. And he begs me to say, listen to those of you that listen to him. He begs me to stay alive. He says, just stay well and talk to me. And he's becoming very, very, very protective of me, of my life. My other boys that I had come up through here, they felt the same way too, but came at me from a completely different way. Because what I'm doing is I'm presenting some ideas into their minds. I'm not trying to tell them, you know, you shouldn't have sex with all these people, you shouldn't do that, because I sound like an idiot saying that. And then if I threaten them with the wrath of God if they do that, they're really not going to listen to me because they have no idea of knowing whether that's true. They know nothing about exegesis. How do you believe in something that seems so far-fetched, so outdated, so outrageous? And that's what we're confronted with in this new society that we live in. And so how do we get through? Right. I go back to what I did. I go all the way back to the beginning of this thing. And I do this. And I listen to the guitarist strumming the strings. And I'm preparing to enter the dance floor with my lady, and I see her eyes. I see the way she looks. I see the way her body moves towards me. I know that she loves me. I know that she likes me, and I like her too. So what must we do? Well, we meet in the middle of the dance floor. Our hands meet. And I begin to serenade her. But wait. When that other woman, standing on the sidelines, is looking at me, she can't be saying the same thing that this woman that I'm dancing with is saying. If I truly am loving and committed to her. Now, if I'm just there to dance with anyone, then I'll do it. But I can do nothing but dance. But once I begin to make a commitment towards this person, where I'm telling this person that I love to dance with them, I love to be with them, I love to take them to the dance. And I know that there's certain of you that are Christians that don't even believe, can you believe this, that Christians ought to dance with each other because it prompts sexual feelings. Well, I don't know about it prompting sexual feelings, but it sure does feel good to dance with somebody that you're attracted to. You ought to try it sometimes. It's a great way to get over depression. It is. But I'm talking about being faithful and loyal to one here. Now, I've eaten a lot of health bars. That's what I'm peeling back here. I took my second chunk. I've eaten a lot of health bars. And they all basically taste the same with the nuts and the chocolate and the honey and the other stuff they have in it. But I don't like one over the other. When it comes to people, there's always that thing that causes the one person to stand out above the others. Now, when you see that one thing, what you should do is talk about that with that person. And if you really fall in love with that person, you talk about longevity with that person, loving that person where they are, and appreciating their transparency. But the inevitable question is, can you have this transparency with this person and then glance to the left? Because see, she's dancing to the left of you. She's enticing you. You can't take your glance off of her. Now, what do you think you're doing to the person that you first glanced at and gave that look to that you are on the dance floor with? That's what I ask the young men that I'm around. What about her? What about her feelings, her emotions? What about her anxieties? What about her? Because caring for a human being, whether you think about marrying them or just buying them lunch, or just being kind and compassionate, caring for a human being takes more than lip service. It takes life service. We live in a culture, we live in a day when it's impossible for someone to think that they can be with someone 34 years. Often when I was ministering to people and I told them how long Lucy and I had been married, they found that to be rather strange. And I know so many guys that call themselves pastors that had 3 and 4 wives. That God, and they say that God called them to preach. That's quite impossible for me. I don't think that God calls a man to preach that has multi-women on his mind. I really don't think so. Some kind of way, that man is easily enticed. And what I meant by that, I meant that that man is easily persuaded by this. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, see? And you know what? That's all right. I know the conversation gets kind of dull when I speak to young men about this. They usually say to me, but how can you help it? I said, well, you can't. I said, you're a sexual creature. I says, but God gives some guidelines for healthy relationships. And he gives those guidelines because if those guidelines are not kept, and it matters not whether we're living in a relativistic society or not, the standards that God has given will keep you and sustain you and hold you. And I believe that the healthier the relationship is the one that can be sustained through God's love. Your life, yes. Can't live without you. Turn it up. Can't breathe without you. Say it again. Yeah. Can't live without you. Can't breathe without you. I'm nothing without your love. That's what each of us has to say to the person that they're dancing with at the time that they're dancing with them. You want to make the heart of God happy? Tell that person that you're with that you're nothing without them. This is the way it works. All right. You know, I mentor young men. I help them all the time. That's part of my new ministry. And I'm telling you, I've had a handful come through my life already. And it's very interesting to watch this take place. And each one of them that I confront as a mentor, okay? A mentor protege, trust me, that's all it is. And it takes work. If you know anything about what a mentor does for his protege and vice versa. And when the protege just overtly says, oh man, I see this. And that young laddie stepped in my office and he said, you want to keep your eye on what's happening in your office, don't you? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, well, you need a certain device. And I said, I bought one, but I never hooked it up. I showed it to him and he had to leave. But he said, when I come back before you go to work, I'm going to show you how to set this up and you will know whoever comes near you and takes anything from you in your office, since this is your prize possessions in this office. Now, he didn't have to do that. Why is he doing that for me? Because he knows that being in the studio is what makes me happy. And protecting what's in the studio makes me happier. He said, I'm going to take all my knowledge of technology and all that stuff and fix you up. That's because I've imparted certain knowledge with him about life. And so he, in turn, with his young life, impart certain knowledge for me. that will help me. As a matter of fact, he wanted me to go out with him tonight because his girlfriend is in this, she'll be performing with this dancing group of hers in this modern dance thing tonight. And he wants me to show up after school tonight. I said, what? Because I'm teaching a class. And I said, no, that's for you young people. He reminds me so much of Mario. Because they're at that age and they want to go out. And he said, you'd have fun there. No, I'd provide transportation for them there. That's what he wanted to say. So they want to hang with me. They want me to hang out with them. And when I do and when I feel well enough, I do. I go. And I usually have a great time talking with them, sharing with them, giving them insight about the world they live in. And I spoke about that the other day. That's becoming a part of their tribe. Because to say that you are concerned about someone, but yet you will not take an interest in what they're doing is ambiguity or ambivalence. You're not being real. They have a term that they use. And not only is it called real talk, but there's another term that they use a lot. And this term puts forth the idea that it is the most serious expression that they can have. It's a very unique term. And I hear it used in their generational groups all too often. And it's not for show or for real. I'll think of it as I talk, but to use that expression about what I'm discussing right now, if a person is not acquainted with love and commitment. Now listen, if a person is not acquainted with true love and commitment, they are apt. This is what I tell a young man. If you're not acquainted with love and commitment the way that God would have it, then you are apt to do that the way that the institutions of humanity around you does it. And the inevitable question is, are we as believers in God, Christians if you will, are we to follow what the agendas are of people that are not thinking constantly about what God would have of them? Now, they would have to have some kind of a recognition of God existing and some kind of a correlation to communicate to them why right and wrong, up and down, black and white are discussed. You don't put them out on the battlefield and say, okay, now get out there and fight for a cause unless you allow them to undertake what that cause is about. So, not going to make this long. I'm going to ask you, as you're dancing with that person out there, and you could be dancing by cooking, just sitting around the house talking, whatever. If you don't take the time and answer the question for yourself. You're going to be answering those questions for everybody else. And the minute you get distracted, you're going to look like this. Just standing there. Standing there, staring, and not knowing in what direction you're going in. It always happens. I always see stupefied guys looking like that after they threw away something that was good for them, for a humbug, something that was just really a piece of trash, trying to gain your attention. Now, if you really want to find the Bible verse that speaks of that, go to the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to find it for you. I'm going to tell you how to find it. Go to the book of Proverbs. Look for the chapters that speaks about a young man that's out in the street at night. And women of the night are trying to get him to come into their bed. One woman even told him, "My husband has gone on a far journey, and I have lilacs and perfumes and things like that on my pillow. My bed is sweet, waiting on you." And the preacher calls him a fool, like a bird going into a trap snare to take his life away. And often I wondered why that was in the Bible. That's one of the things that excuse me. This fruit bar is very good. That's one of the things that kept me very committed to Lucy, my love, my wife. That story in Proverbs. So look it up. And as you read it, and if you're honest to God about your life, if you are, young lady, young man, older lady, older man, if you are not committed, you won't pay those verses any attention at all. You're going to say, "This is PJ trying to take my dopamine away from me." Dopamine is the liquid that you have in your brain that produces eudaimonia, a pleasure within you. Thank you for coming to the webcast today. I truly pray that you got something out of it. I did.